This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet all you listeners, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. I'll mention this right up front. If you would like to get a copy of what we're going to talk about today, maybe you'll miss part of the program. All we ask for is a love offering, and you can make a check out to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. You can mail it to Post Office Box 413. And the address is Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. So that's all you have to do. So we're honored to be here with you. You heard our intro. We do a lot with the Hebraism, and we want you to know the prophetic implications of what we've been talking about for years on this radio program. We've been on 19-plus years, and we hope that you that's been listening over and over, you know, sometimes it takes a while to something you hear to really sink in, and you understand it fully. And last week we talked about some difficult things a little bit, didn't we, Pastor Donna? We talked about the two calendars in the Bible that a lot of Christians don't even understand. There's two calendars in the Bible. And Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, He has to fulfill both of those calendars. He's already fulfilled one, but He has not fulfilled the other one yet. And we talked about that in great detail last week with you. So we might touch on it a little bit here from time to time through the teaching here today. But we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're honored to be here with you. It's a pleasure. And we know that God wants you to understand the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we're not saying that we know everything, but I'll tell you, when we put the Hebrew understanding in with our Holy Bible, and even in the New Testament, the whole book comes alive, because we need to understand those appointed times. And God showed me years ago that He spoke to me one day and said, "You've been robbed." And I asked Him, "Robbed of what?" And He just made it clear, "You've been robbed of your Judaism and also the Hebrew understanding of the Scriptures to help us know truly and understand fully what Yeshua, our Messiah, came to do." So we're going to be here with you for almost an hour today. So I release myself to the Lord, and Donna and I have already prayed. I release her to you. She's got a couple of announcements she'll make probably here. And so we turn it over to her right now. Pastor Donna, you can tell them whatever you'd like to know.
Amen. Well, we'll say hello, and we thank the Lord that we can be here on WCNO.
Yes.
And also on the internet. So if you're listening to us by way of your car or your radio, you can also listen to us anywhere you are. You may be on the internet. Maybe you're visiting Florida and you're going home and you like this program. Well, you can listen to it wherever you're at.
That's right.
Marvelous? Mm-hmm. The call numbers is WCNO.com. And it's 12 noon.
At 89.9.
89.9 is the radio number. FM.
FM, yeah.
Amen. But the internet is WCNO.com. And it's there 24/7 live, around the clock, Pastor Gene.
That's
right.
On
every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. And they also have, you can go back and listen to it again if you want to go to their podcast. So that's a real blessing. And WCNO is a powerful Christian radio station, been here for a long time. And we have been blessed to be on this station for over 19 years.
What's hard to believe it.
It's been a long time. So praise God for that. We'll say hello to our our sister church in Roscoe and Audrey Walks on the island.
At the Bahamas.
The Bahamas on Andros Island. Building
Hallelujah.
The church, the literal temple of God. Amen. They've been having church under a tent for many years, but now the building is going up. Roof is going to be going on very soon. So if you'd like to help support that ministry, we certainly would love to bless them. We help support them and buy the materials for that ministry. So just give us a call, or we will give you the phone number. You can send a check and bless that ministry. Amen. I do want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Every Friday night, we have our Shabbat service, and that's at 7 p.m.
And then what a great time, huh?
That's right. And then today, we will have service at 4 o'clock, and we have a guest speaker this afternoon. And that's going to be very interesting, and I'm not going to say much about it on the radio right now, but come. I know you will be blessed, and you will learn a lot. Also, we have service every Sunday. And so that's on tomorrow. On Sunday, we'll have service at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. And we are in an awesome time. I'm going to give our phone number in a minute if you'd like to call. But before I do that, I just want to mention that we are in a new Hebrew month, and also the month of April. And so we are now at the beginning of the year, which we're going to talk about, which is Nisan. Mm-hmm. And in this month, it comes the very first feast of the Lord that starts out the year, and it's called Passover.
We talked about that a little bit
and
last
unleavened
weekend.
Bread. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about more about that this today. And if you'd like a calendar which has the Hebrew days and the Hebrew months along with April and the days of this month, and also the High Holy Days, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to mail that to you. We will be having Passover on the 16th, which happens to fall on a Sunday, 16th. And we're going to talk about a very important day, Nisan 17. You know, some people even think the catching away could happen during Passover. I've heard it. So many people say it.
Yeah.
And, well, we know, we really believe it's going to happen during a High Holy Day, and we believe it's going to happen in the fall. But, you know, some people are teaching that. But, you know, I'm ready for him to come anytime, I'll tell you the truth. But
you need to explain that when you're done.
I think a lot of reasons people think that is because we've talked about this so many times, is on the 17th of Nisan, there's been deliverance.
Many cases in the Bible.
Many cases throughout the Bible.
On that day,
starting,
yeah,
you know, with the time of Noah, and then coming out of Egypt, and then at Purim. And, of course, we know our Lord resurrected on Nisan 17.
Esther's day also.
And during Esther's time.
Yeah.
All the time, all speaks of deliverance. Well, it is a time of deliverance, and God wants to deliver his people from all the pagan stuff that we seem to get caught up in. And not because we choose to, but it's because we have been taught that way, and we have been raised that way. We've been raised with Easter baskets. You know, we had Easter baskets for our kids,
yeah,
and we didn't know it was wrong.
Before we got
we
saved,
didn't
yeah.
know. We didn't know. We were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. So, and all these other things, you know, we need to get back to our roots. And of course, you know, that's what this radio broadcast is about our Jewish roots and knowing the Bible and how the God's calendar is the calendar we're supposed to be on. And of course, Pastor Gene's spoken about this, and he'll probably mention again that, you know, this is the beginning of the year. This is the beginning of the prophetic year. Now, he's talked about two calendars, and if you don't understand the two calendar system, one is for crops, which is in the fall, which is when the year actually will change from 5777. It'll change to 5778. But when we come here and we start in the month of Nisan, you know, Pastor Gene spoke about that, how God changed that back in Exodus and said this would now be the beginning of your months. So, and that's the month of Passover. So we need to know these things. If you'd like to have Pastor Gene's book, it's awesome, and you could actually teach it. It's all about the Feast of the Lord. It has charts in there. There's like 8 or 10 charts in the back of the book. It's about the book. It has the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. It explains those two books side by side. He talks about the last 2 days. He talks about the end times. It's just really an awesome study guide. And it's for you to learn about about the Feast of the Lord. And actually, when it starts out with the calendar. So we need to know the calendar if we're going to be able to understand the Feast of the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to get ourselves back on God's calendar.
Amen. A lunar calendar.
And then we will have a greater understanding. You know, you mentioned the lunar. That's the new moon. You know, that's a holy time.
Sure is.
That's a holy day. That people don't really realize that, but that's
a holy
time.
The Jews honored it for 2 days looking for it.
Looking for the new moon. Well, yeah. You know, they look for the new moon every single month.
Every month.
Because the calendar, that God's calendar, goes by the new moon, mm-hmm. and it goes by 30 days, 360 days.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, we don't have 360 days anymore, it's 365. Well, you know, I can't explain all that about you, but if you go and you read the book of Revelation, it goes right back to 360 days.
That's right.
And you can prove it.
Man's messed with it. That's why.
In the scriptures.
Yeah.
So we need to get back to the scriptures and the truth of God's word and pray. And, you know, because the Bible says that, you know, the Holy Spirit will show us things and show
Hallelujah.
Us things to come. And we can learn to know more of the deeper things. But we have to get back on the right calendar. If you're on the wrong calendar, you know, it's like doing your checkbook, you know, if you're not doing it right, you're not going to come up with the right figures. So we need to get back on God's calendar. So this month of Nisan and is the beginning of the year.
Yeah, the months, yeah.
Of the months. And, of course, Passover starts on the eve of Passover is on the 10th of April, which is Nisan 14. Well, that's when they laid up, Nisan 14, that's when they laid up the lamb.
That's
Amen.
When, that's when they killed the lamb.
That's when they killed the lamb.
The 10th.
They laid the lamb up on the 10th.
Right.
Which is before Passover. Mm-hmm. But on Passover Eve is when they killed the lamb. Of course, we know that's when Yeshua died. The same time the lamb died. Same exact time, 3
Absolutely.
O'clock in the afternoon.
Between the two evenings.
Between the two evenings. And of course, we also know that he was... for 3 days and three nights, and then on Nisan 17 is when he rose. Well, we talked about many things that have happened on Nisan 17. So that whole week, there's 8 days, is it?
Uh-huh.
8 days.
Yeah, unleavened bread, yeah.
Right, and then we got unleavened bread, and we will be celebrating our Passover feast on the 16th, which is actually, in the church, is Resurrection Day. Or what they call Easter. We don't use that terminology in our...
That's pagan
our
also,
that's,
yeah.
That's a pagan word. If they should call it Resurrection Sunday.
Right.
That's what they should put on their...
On their marquees out front of
the church. The bulletin board is Resurrection
yeah.
Sunday. And it happens to be the 16th is when is Resurrection Sunday for the church. But actually, Nisan 17 is on a... This happened to be this year. It happens to be on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Isn't that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And Pastor Gene's book is $25 plus shipping. So if you could send $25
plus $4
for
shipping, yeah.
And that would you he would be and an address he would be we would get that out to you next week and you'd have it before Passover and you could read the part on Passover, so each in his book you could actually go to each feast. You know, it's just too much to cram in your brain, you know, all of a sudden. But you could go to the Passover and read about Passover, and you know, when we come up to Pentecost, read about the one on Pentecost. And of course, always you need to look at the calendar. The very first chapter, and know about the Hebrew calendar and God's prophetic calendar, because it's God's prophetic timeline is how things are going to happen, not the way man tries to figure
That's
it out.
That's right.
But it's God's time, God's timeline. So I just want to remind you again, we have services tomorrow at 10 a.m., so come visit us. We're here in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway, which is also called State Road 76, I do believe,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we're in the Monterey Plaza. We're in a plaza. So just give us a phone call. We can give you directions. And we just love to see you. And we thank the Lord that you enjoy this radio program. Give us a call. Let us know what you like and what you want to hear about, what you want to know about. And we'd be glad to see and see if we can find it out or help you out or speak to you on the telephone or pray with you, whatever it might be that you need.
Amen.
So we just bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
I was thinking while you were talking there, you know, you mentioned a while ago that, you know, some people teach that Christ is going to come back at Passover.
Uh-huh.
But what we taught last week should prove that that's not true. If you weren't listening, I can't go through all that again, but you can order the CD or the tape, and we'd be glad to, you know, send it out to you. But remember, we talked about the calendars being changed, and from Genesis 1 up to Exodus chapter 12, they were on a civil calendar, which ran and started in the fall and ran for 12 months. Well, in Exodus 12, God changed not the season or the time of the year, but what he changed the number on it, which is a picture of a new birth, okay? And so when Yeshua came to this earth, did his work on this earth, he fulfilled what we would call the prophetic, or some people call it the spiritual calendar. He fulfilled what? Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of First Fruits, and also what? Pentecost. He fulfilled all that, okay? Well, now according to the scriptures, he has to fulfill also the civil calendar. Well, when's the civil calendar? It's in the fall. It was changed in Exodus chapter 12. And so then we go out to the month of Tishri. So he has not fulfilled trumpets, the Day of Atonement, or tabernacles. He has not fulfilled that. So that's the time he's going to come back. We know the time of the year he's going to come back. We just don't know what year we're on for sure. And so he's going to fulfill all that. And you think about it, counting Simchat Torah, the 22nd day. In 22 days, it'll all be over at the end of Jacob's trouble on that last year. Isn't that amazing?
Maybe he did that because he wanted to get the feast in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Isn't interesting? But he didn't change the season or anything. Nope. He just made
changed the number.
He made 7, 1, and 1, 7. So that's all he did.
That's right.
Just like, you know, you can take like almost like a slide, I think of a slide rule, but what is that thing that's around? You just change the numbers. That's all.
Right.
Everything else stays the same. Everything stays the same. Just the only thing changes is the numbers. Yes. You just make it like a wheel. You just roll it around and change it.
Chart we offer.
Like on a clock.
Yeah, this chart we offer to you if you want to have it. It's circular. God's appointed times are cyclic as well. And it shows you how it goes around during the year. And so it's an amazing picture when we look at all of it. And God's put it in place for us to find out more about him. And so we talked about that calendar in quite length last week. And when we first studied this, and I did years ago, I had a hard time figuring this all out. And then when Donna got involved with it, well, it took her a while to get things straight in your mind, you know, where he changed the seventh month.
Well,
we won't get into all that again. But anyway, it's in the book, and you can find out all you want to know as much as you possibly can if you look at this. And so there's a lesson and a half about the Passover season, and so that'll give you a clue to all that. And we see all there in Exodus 12, we talked a little bit about it last week, that Yeshua himself had to fulfill every single thing. And we think about the Passover season. We really think about it. The Passover season is from Nisan 10 till the 21st. They laid up that lamb down and talked about Nisan 10, and it was in the temple, and everyone could examine it for 10 days. Yeshua spent the last 4 days of his physical life on this earth in the temple, and he was asked questions harder than any other questions he'd been asked at that time. So he was truly examined. Well, it came to that day, and if you don't know this, all the lambs that were going to be sacrificed in the temple were all raised in a place called Bethlehem. Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. So on Nisan 10, we know that the priesthood brought a lamb into the temple for the Passover day and 4 days in the future to have it examined. And so it was, since the priesthood would go out to Bethlehem and pick out a lamb and all that. Well, then after, when they brought that lamb in shortly after that, then Yeshua rode in on that donkey, talks about in the scriptures, and this was on Nisan 10. And so he rode in, spent those 4 days I just mentioned in the temple compound and all that, and he was talking and teaching things about the kingdom of God and all. And so, and he also had all those hard questions asked him at that particular time. And so he was, everything that was done to that physical lamb that the priesthood was going to sacrifice was done to the Messiah himself. And it tells us in Psalms that on that particular day that the lambs were tied, they were tied on the horns of the altar. You know, there isn't a lamb on there, they were tied on there. I always reminded what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so it means we have to get on that altar and be willing to stay on the altar and not crawl off. The lambs in that day and back in Yeshua's day, they were tied to the altar and they could not get off of it, off of the altar. And so we know that they sacrificed two animals on that day, but the key one was the one in the afternoon at 3 p.m. or between the two evenings. And so we mentioned that last week a little bit. And so at 9 in the morning on that particular day, they would prepare a lamb that was going to be sacrificed. The final one of the day, which would be at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then Yeshua was tied on an old rugged cross and nailed to that cross at 9 in the morning, the exact same time that they tied the lamb in the temple area, those two lambs, which would be sacrificed, one at 9 in the morning and one between the two evenings. But the one in the afternoon was the key one. And at 3 p.m., the high priest would go up the steps of the altar, have that knife in his hand, and he would cut the throat of that lamb, and he would declare, "It is finished," meaning that it was the last sacrifice of the day. But at the same time, up there on Mount Golgotha, Yeshua, what did he say? He said, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost and died at that particular moment in time. And what was he saying? "This is the last sacrifice that will ever be required again for sin. It is finished," he said. And it was finished. And so, hallelujah. And so, he died on that day. 3 days later, we know he rose from the grave on Nisan 17, we've been talking about. And he broke the power of sin and death over our lives when we chose to come to him. So, we have a lot of pictures with all this about what the Messiah came to do. But I think about all that he went through, Pastor Donna, and the struggle, you know. Mm-hmm. If you went to see the movie The Passion, it was out several years ago. You saw how they put him on that flogging stick, and they beat him to a pulp. Boy, they really did, with the cat of nine tails, and pull all the skin off of him and ripped it all around his head. And I mentioned before one time that the Romans, when they were going to beat someone like that, they would find out how many stripes they were going to give up individual, and then one-third of those stripes they would figure out and what it was, and they'd whip that person around the face and the neck. So we don't know what the Lord had happened to him, but his eyes could have been ripped out. His ears could have been ripped off of his head. It tells you in Isaiah 52 that he wasn't even recognized as a man. He was so marred from all that. And so he was beaten and flogged terribly before they ever nailed him to the cross. Right. And then he had to suffer those other 6 hours on the cross. And it's amazing when you think about it. You know, God was so merciful with all the lambs. You know, he would cut their little throats and they would be dead within 10 or 20 seconds. They'd be done. They'd be gone. But he couldn't do that with the Messiah. Some people don't really know why, but there's a reason why he couldn't do that. Yeshua had to fulfill that free will burnt offering that was required all the way back in Exodus when it came through with all the Torah and everything. Those two lambs had to be killed at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, day after day after day after day. So our Messiah had to fulfill both of those sacrifices in his own life. So God had to have a method. Have him put on a cross at 9 in the morning and die at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And the only method that was available at that particular time was what? The Roman Empire was the ones that brought this into being. They were the ones that invented it. And so God might have done it another way, but there was a reason for it, I'm sure. And so he had to fulfill that. And so he was nailed on that cross at 9 in the morning and suffered those 6 hours for you and I, knowing that when he died and shed his blood, that we could come to him, and by the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah, that our sins would be washed away. And so he made several statements. In fact, he made several of them. Well, there was 7 of them, I believe, on the cross. And the last one was, "It is finished." And one of the key ones, I remember, when he had his arms stretched out and they nailed him, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And so he was a forgiving man. We know that. That was what he came to, forgive the world of its sins. John the Baptist saw him coming down the road one day, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so this was the man that was there, Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
And so we have such honor to think about that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm always reminded about when Yeshua was standing before Pilate. We've talked about this before. Pilate was talking about truth, and Pilate said, "Well, what is truth?" Well, the truth was standing before him. Yeshua was standing there before him, and he didn't comprehend that in any way, shape, or form. But another thing that the high priest had said was, the Caiaphas had said, he says it was a prophetic word. It's expedient that one man would die for the sins of the world. And he was standing there, Yeshua, the Messiah. And so what an incredible thing that God put in place for all mankind. We should thank him so much that we have our salvation through Yeshua, and there's no other way. He told us in John 14:6 himself, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me." So that means he's the way to eternal life, he's the truth of it, and he's the one that gives eternal life. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you gave to us, your life, for our life. and we have eternal life because of you. And so it all started Passover. That was the whole thing. So we talked about some things last week about the Passover. We were in Exodus chapter 12, and the Lord fulfilled all that as well. And one interesting thought that some people don't know, the ancient sages and rabbis knew exactly how Yeshua was how he died in the wilderness, not Yeshua, I got Yeshua in my mind, how the lamb was sacrificed and died in the wilderness. And I thought I might just mention that with you for a moment. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 in Exodus chapter 12 to show you this, how our Lord, this was done hundreds and hundreds of years before he died, he came and died, but this was the precursor of what was going to happen. Verse 8 says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night." Remember, they had to roast that lamb or a goat, and they had to get ready to leave by on Nisan 15. Mm-hmm. "With fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat." It says with fire. And they told him, "Eat not it raw, nor sodden," it means, you know, boiled in water, "at all with water, but roast with fire, his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof," means all of his internal organs as well, this lamb or goat. So we find out from history with the Jewish things how the sages talked about how this was done for years and years and years with through Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, I should say, and all down through time when God put the Torah and everything in place. Well, how did they burn him? Well, the understanding was they took two pomegranate sticks, which is amazing when you think about it. Remember, there's pomegranates on the bottom of the high priest's garment with the bells that rang? Well, anyway, they would take up two pomegranate sticks, and they would take and run one of them straight up through the animal, the goat or the lamb, and they'd take another one, and they'd bring it through the sides horizontally, and they would wrap the internal parts here, which is called the pertinence, and they would wrap those around this stake that they made, and it looked like a cross, and they shoved it in the ground, and that's how they have a fire around it, and that's how they roasted it. So it kind of makes you think about our Lord. You know, he must have really been burning within all the suffering that he did for those 6 hours on that cross with the blood and coming out and the pain and the agony, you know, trying to, you know, it's like almost being suffocated by hanging on that cross. But Lord, his father allowed him to hang there for 6 hours without succumbing to death. Mm. And Jesus, Yeshua, was the only man that ever picked the exact moment that he would die.
The exact moment,
the same time the high priest sacrificed that lamb in the temple and said it's finished at 3 p.m. between the two evenings. He died at that point to fulfill all that. That's why it had to be done. So God chose an instrument of death by the Romans that was so terrible, so incredible, only to the worst criminals, to a man that had never done one thing wrong, but he did it for you and I. So it always showed me a picture.
He was sinless.
That's right, he was sinless. It just showed me that he took all of our sins upon himself. And it's amazing.
It could only be a sinless man.
That's right.
He was God.
That's right.
He took all of our sins.
Sure.
And God, that's because God loves us so much. It says that in the New Testament.
That's right.
He loved us so much. But I was thinking about too, Pastor Gene, you know, the high priest at that time, he knew it was finished.
That's right.
Because, you know, in the temple, the veil was rent. There was a veil that was very thick. Some people say it was as much as 6 inches thick. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom. And it was God's one is the one who ripped it. And there was thunder and lightning.
Right. And earthquake.
And earthquake. And the high priest that year, he actually tore his collar.
That's right.
And, you know, if they were to tear their collar, that means they could never put another collar on, I could say. They were removed from the office as priest. And he knew it was finished. He knew he was finished. He was so angry. He tore his collar, and you know, and Jesus actually rent that veil, which is like tearing his collar.
That's right.
You know, tearing it and saying, he says, I am opening the way to the Holy of Holies.
For
and
all
it's
people.
By the blood of my son, Yeshua, HaMashiach.
Yeah.
It's by his blood that dripped. And you know, the blood is alive. The blood's not dead.
That's right.
His blood is what saves us. It
Still
cleanses
powerful.
Us. It's powerful. It washes away our sin.
Thank you,
What's
Lord.
It say in Isaiah? That was prophesied years before Yeshua ever came. Isaiah 53:52. Read in that area all about the prophecy about the Lord. You know, how he was going to die, and how he would take on the sin. He took on the sin and the suffering. Perhaps we need to go over there and read some of that, Pastor Gene. But this priest that was high priest at that time, he tore his collar, never to be priest again. At that point. That's what changed. It's not that the law changed. The Ten Commandments didn't change.
Nope.
God doesn't change. God is not a God and he doesn't change. What changed was is the priesthood, because the priesthood was made up of men that made mistakes, that sinned, that made mistakes. They had to always be, they had to check themselves out so closely before they ever went into that, behind that veil.
And they had to sacrifice for themselves as well.
That's right. And even behind that veil at that time,
yeah.
You know, the ark wasn't there. There was no ark there to sprinkle blood on even. That's right. Wasn't there then.
It's all gone.
God said that time and that season had come to a close. And so when God rent that veil, what changed was the priesthood. No longer was it the Levitical priesthood, but now it became Jesus from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah, no one ever served at the altar.
And the tribe, of Judah means praise. Yeshua
right.
came from the tribe of
yeah.
Judah. So we praise him and we thank God that he made a way. You know, God saw that way in the beginning. He knew he was going to make a way. He knew it would come to the right time and the right season. This is why it's important that we know the times and the seasons.
Amen.
You know, he says we were not going to know the hour or the day. And we know that the new moon falls on one of two days. So we won't know the time, the exact time, or we won't know day one or day two.
Yeah.
But we will, he said, but Paul said, we're not to be ignorant of these things, of the seasons. We should know the seasons.
Right.
We should not be ignorant of it. And that's what's so good about your teaching in this book, is that people can learn to know the seasons. If we know the seasons and the timing of God, then you know what? The other things just kind of fall into place and gives us peace in our heart, knowing that someplace in that season that all these things are going to be fulfilled that the Bible talks about, that he talks about. So we need to realize that what was changed was murder is still a sin.
That's right.
Okay. Adultery is still a sin. Lying is still a sin.
That's right. That's
stealing
changed.
Is still a sin.
That's right.
Not honoring the Sabbath is sin. A lot of people don't like that.
We should honor the Sabbath.
Sunday's not the Sabbath. God told Moses, remember the Sabbath. The
That's
Sabbath
right.
was set up way before the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
The Sabbath was set up in the very beginning.
On the first day.
In Genesis.
Chapter 1, yeah.
Right.
Of Genesis, yeah.
It was set up. So, and all those things, you know, and honoring your mother and your father.
That's right.
And not to covet. Those things are still sins, aren't they?
Absolutely.
But what did change was the priesthood changed, because the people could not, they didn't, they said they would obey, but they didn't.
Priesthood, the high priest wasn't a perfect man either, was
No, it? And the high priest wasn't. And the people said that they would obey, even from Mount Sinai, when the voice
right.
of God came down, they said they would obey, but they didn't. It wasn't just a few days and they had made a golden calf.
That's right.
You know, that wasn't just no time, they fell right back into sin. Well, people fall right back into sin, but there's power in the blood of Yeshua, in the blood of Jesus. So what did change? The priesthood is what changed.
And the sacrifices.
There's a new
no
priest.
More, yeah.
And there's no more sacrifices
For
of
sin.
Animals. No bloody sacrifices of animals. People should not be sacrificing animals for anything.
Right.
For anything.
Got it.
That's right. Amen. And so, you know, we need to know what God says. And how are we going to know what he says? We got to get into his word.
So if we know the Levitical law, I'm thinking about this. The high priest, back in Leviticus, when God put that in place, the high priest had a special collar reinforced to put on his garment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it was in the Jewish understanding, if they ever got angry and ripped that collar, that's what, when they got mad or upset, they ripped the collar, they were removed from the office of high priest. Well, what happened? Caiaphas got upset, didn't he? And he ripped his collar because of what Yeshua was saying, claiming to be the Son of God. But when that day of Passover came and Christ died,
and God ripped the veil,
ripped it from top to bottom,
did.
So God actually ripped His collar.
Yes.
All right.
He says, I'm finished with you
I'm
guys.
I'm finished with you. He says, I'm putting this. I'm going to put
my son
spotless man in that place as the high priest from this point on, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach.
Mm-hmm.
So he
mm-hmm.
removed the Levitical priesthood at that time, and he put the Messiah Yeshua HaMashiach as the high priest. He was from the tribe of Judah. They never ever administered at the altar. And so God made the change right there. And so God ripped his, he ripped his collar. He was so upset by what
and
they were
we
doing.
And if we go over to what it says, I think it's in Peter, where it says that we are priests.
priests and kings. That's
and
right.
kings.
That's
unto
right.
who? Unto Yeshua.
That's right.
We are servants. We choose to be a servant.
That's right.
And to obey His word. And we can obey His word because He said He was going to go to the Father, which will be the next, when Pentecost comes, He said He would send the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And so I'm not going to jump those many weeks ahead, 50 days ahead.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were to wait and tarry there in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Ghost was sent, see, we have the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to get back to is we received the Holy Ghost. So we can obey the law because we have the Holy Ghost if we are led by the Spirit of God. Now, if we choose not to be led by the Spirit of God, God always gives us free choice, right?
That's right.
We have, and we make decisions right up here in our mind. In our mind, we're going to follow the Spirit
of God.
We make a choice. Are we going to follow the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, which is in us, and the Word of God? See, that it's Spirit and truth. You can't have truth if you don't have the Spirit, and vice versa. You have to have Spirit and truth. The Spirit will always bring the truth, and the truth will always line up with God's Word.
That's right.
So
make
you have
us free,
to see. Yeah. You'll have here that you have this. And it talks about that in there too, about this, the three you have. You know, you have the Word, we have the Spirit, we have the blood, we have all these things, and that come into agreement. They're in agreement, and so it's in our mind that we choose to follow the Spirit of God that's within us, or are we just going to push Him aside? You know, it's easy to grieve the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, sure is.
It's easy to grieve the Holy Ghost. So when we choose to do it our way, or man's way, we are saying, okay, I'm not going to do it your way, God. I'm not going to do this thing your way, God. You know, I'll do something else your way, but
That's
this
right.
thing I'm not going to do. So what does the Holy Ghost do? Okay, you have your own way.
Right.
And every time people have their own way, they end up suffering loss.
That's right.
Something happens.
But the Father and Yeshua both knew that mankind could not accomplish what God wanted without the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's
the Holy
right.
Ghost is not mentioned in the first covenant. Those people didn't have it. So they had to really press in, believe God, and walk by faith to the best of their ability. And a lot of them missed it all the time. But when the Holy Ghost came out, it empowered everyone, including us today, to be able to walk in the power of the Spirit. And God knew that we needed that. And so that's what Yeshua's life was all about. It brought us to that point to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the power and the anointing to go out and do the work. And we read the book of Acts and we see what they all did. They look what they did. They turned the world upside down because of the power that was there. And so it's so important we understand that. So God knew all that, and He knew that His Son was the only answer. And I'm always reminded when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and God told him to make him a burnt offering. Well, you know, Abraham knew that God had promised him that out of his loins and all would be many nations and all would come. And He promised him. So he was obedient to that. He took him up on the mountain.
He was willing to do that.
That's right.
Sacrifice His Son.
His Son gets on the altar. And Isaac asked his father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And God said, God will supply Himself the sacrifice. So here's a foreshadow. That's right. There's a foreshadow. And so Isaac wasn't sacrificed, but they looked up and there was not a lamb, but a ram, because a lamb was going to come in the future. There was a ram that was caught in the thicket, and that's what the one that was sacrificed and said. And so here we have another foreshadow about what Christ was going to come to do.
And the ram is the male part. It's the
right.
male, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, and Abraham, to me, it looks like he's the father figure.
That's right.
And Isaac was the son figure.
That's right.
And God supplied the ram, the son of God. But I think that, I feel that, you know, God was saying, the father was, I just wonder what the father says. Well, you know, I'm going to see what my son Abraham will do. Abraham has followed me. He left his land. He left all his riches.
That's right.
He went into a foreign land. And, you know, God supplied him with everything, multiplied. You know, he was even willing to give up the best land to Lot, which he did. And, you know, we know what happened with Lot and his family. They were all fell into sin, destroyed. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Burnt up in Sodom and Gomorrah. But here he didn't take the best land, but God always provided for him. But it's God saying, you know, I think God's saying, well, you know, Abraham is, I'm going to see what he's going to do.
Let's see.
It's a test. You know, we always have tests. And, you know, God doesn't do that to prove ourselves. And so, you know, God said, well, you know, Abraham's willing to give up his only son. And he's waited for how many years? They waited a long time for that son. And his name meant laughter, right? a son that came for really in their old age, was a miracle. A miracle.
That's right.
And so, you can be 100 years old and you're going to have a son. That's I call that a miracle, you know.
And the beauty of it was that when he fulfilled that, because he passed the test, God says, because you believe what I've asked you to do,
right,
and you went through with it, I'm imputing my righteousness to you from this day forward.
Boy, that's right.
Woo!
So then you look at Isaac, the son. He was willing to lay
Absolutely.
Down his life.
That's right.
Doesn't say he fought or anything.
Never questioned.
He didn't cry. He didn't fight. He was willing to lay down his life. What did Jesus do? He went to that cross. He laid down his life. It says he didn't grumble. He didn't complain. Nothing.
He knew what it was going to bring
he
to the world.
He knew what
yeah.
was going to happen. He
That's
knew
right.
that he knew that God had a plan, and that God was going to raise him from the dead. He knew that. He knew who he was. But it's just so awesome, the pictures that we see in here. And now we're honored to be called priests and kings.
That's
but
right.
we got to do what's right, don't we?
Absolutely.
We have to follow the Torah. We have to follow the Torah. And what is the Torah? Let's go back and let's see what it is. It's the teaching and instructions of God.
That's right.
It's the teaching and instructions of God. If we would just get that memorized in our mind, it's the teaching and instructions of God. The Torah is good for us. Paul said the law is good for you. And he meant the Torah is good for you.
That's right.
Because law means Torah. So when we say, when you hear the word law, L-A-W, think Torah, T-O-R-A-H. It's the teaching and instructions
of God.
And it's good for us, and it will cause us to prosper. It causes us to be healthy. We won't eat junk.
That's
we'll
right.
eat what's right. We'll be obedient.
We'll
honor the Sabbath. We'll fulfill all the things that the Spirit of God has called us to do. Amen. We'll be obedient children.
That's right.
We won't be like those who wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years in their disobedience. No, but we will be obedient children, and because of that, we're going to be blessed. And we're highly favored. We're called priests and kings. Amen. I think that is just so awesome. And I like too also, Pastor Gene, is when we, of course, we teach out of the King James Bible, and that's the one we believe that we should be in, and that's because God has brought conviction to us, and we've done a lot of word study from different Bibles. Well, that's the only Bible that I know that uses Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Which brings a separation and shows you that the Holy Ghost is something that you receive, when you get born again,
That's
when
right.
you get saved, and then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The power comes, yes.
Which is the power, which yeah. is what they were told to wait upon at Pentecost. And so much of the church, they don't believe that Pentecost is for today. They believe that was for then, back
not
then.
Not for now, right.
But not for now. Well, that is where the power comes in. That's your power source. That's your electricity in your house. If you don't have that power source, it's like going around cutting all the wires in your house that brings any kind of electricity in.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're cutting all your
all
wires,
your connections
right?
off. Yeah.
All your connections off. So you need the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's where it comes into is praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because what do? We're turning on the power source, which comes only from the Father. And the enemy, the devil, does not understand that language.
Nope.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand that language.
But I just hear somebody listening to the program asking, well, how did they come up with the term holy, we don't mean set up, or how did they come up with the word ghost? They're like something floating around.
Well, it comes from host.
That's right, but people don't understand.
God's host.
It was an old Germanic word.
Mm-hmm.
And so the King James translators realized that there's a distinction between the Spirit of God who gives us the
Holy Ghost.
And so there's a distinction between the ghost, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. So all these other Bibles just call it the Holy Spirit. So what this word means, ghost, it means you're hosting God within you. You're hosting God. You're God's host. That's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the distinction for the translators, so we would understand there was something different about it. And it's all, the Holy Spirit is behind all of it, but
Amen.
He's the one that empowers the Holy Ghost within us.
It comes from the Holy Spirit.
But we're hosting God in us. We're the
That's
temple
it.
Of God.
We host
he's
God.
In us. That's right.
I think about how the Jewish people write the word God. They put G-D.
Yeah. They don't want to mention
Well,
God's
I like
name.
To put for Holy Ghost, G-host.
Yeah.
So God's host.
That's right.
We are God's host. He's a guest in us.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And we're in him and he's in us. He's a guest. We're a guest in him. He's a guest in us. We're one. We become one. But, the Holy Spirit is everywhere.
He's everywhere.
But the Holy Ghost is only in believers.
That's right. Comes to
so
us.
So that's where we can see that there's a difference. Only believers that have received the Yeshua as their Lord and Savior, and they've asked for the Holy Ghost, they have the Holy host. They have the Holy Host in them.
That's right.
But the Spirit of God is every place.
That's right.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So you can see that you get a better understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost when you use both terms. And I love it when the King James Bible, and even in the New Testament, sometimes it says Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we need to see, what is he talking about when he says Holy Spirit?
That's right.
When he says Holy Ghost, now we better take that personal, because that's a personal thing for each believer to have. And we need it. That's the power source. And that's what the one where we can just, if we press into that and we press into the things of the Holy Ghost, then, you know, we're going to be able to fulfill all the things, because the Spirit of God, the law of God, is written in our heart. Amen. It's not paper. It's not written on paper. It may be written on paper, and you can see it and you can read it like your Bible. But when those words become life to you, and they dwell in your heart, they dwell in your in your temple, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. See that ark that's missing over there in Israel. That's not where God wants to dwell. He wants that was for a time and a season.
That's
amen.
Right.
To put His words in, the tablets in, but He wants to put those tablets into our
To write it on our heart,
and so that we are a living temple of God. We're alive. We're a temple of God, and you know we can do all things. It says in the Bible, through Christ who strengthens us. And who strengthens us? Christ, the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwelling in this temple.
That's right.
Which is made of nothing but what? Clay and dirt.
And with our terminology we use, people think about ghosts. They think about some entity floating around someplace. You know,
no,
that's not what it's about at all. It says Jesus gave up. It says He gave up the ghost.
He did.
He gave up. In other words, He was God. But think about it. He was actually hosting God Himself. But He gave up the ghost. He gave it. When He died, He gave it to all of us that we could receive, and we can be hosting God in us. It was given to us, the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So He gave up the ghost.
He said He'd have to go back to the Father,
and
He told Him to wait, and because He was going to send the gift. Now we can go and we start talking about the gift.
Yeah.
The gift is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what are the gifts? You can go over and you can read in there what all the gifts are of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. My.
1 Corinthians 12, they're all there.
They're all there. 1 Corinthians 12, go read that. Read that chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And you'll see that these things are still in operation today. They haven't been done away with. It's still in operation today. And God wants to move through the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Just got a word with this. The Spirit of God is the giver.
Yes.
All right. And the Holy Ghost is, we receive.
We receive.
What the giver gives to us, and we receive the Holy Ghost to function with Him and to walk with Him. It's incredible.
The Father and the Son sent the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
To believers.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So He's the giver and we're the receiver.
Glory.
I get excited about it.
That's good.
That's
praise
right.
God. Well, we've talked about a lot of different things, Pastor Gene.
Yep.
Why don't we just go over there because we know to where you said in
Isaiah?
First, well, we could read Isaiah too. We think we have time. Also, you go to Isaiah and I'll go to 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
And we will see here because
about 10 minutes, yeah.
Jesus fulfilled, Yeshua fulfilled everything that was said of Him. Every single thing. Him returning the pages.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Praise God. Verse 12, it's chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. See, we're not supposed to be worshiping dumb idols.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be worshiping angels. Angels are messengers that God sends to help us, amen?
That's right.
So we don't really call them angels. We say we ask the Lord to send us help, and He'll send, and perhaps He'll send us some angels, amen? We all have angels, I believe.
Amen.
He says, wherefore, verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Here we go.
But by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's your capital S, same Spirit that you're talking about. The Father and the Son sent by the Holy Spirit. They sent the Holy Ghost. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, capital S Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given, now these are the things that are given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
These all operate and work through the Holy Ghost. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now when I say Spirit,
mind,
these are
the
all
giver.
Capital.
He's the giver.
He's the giver. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Now that spirits are small. That's because we should be able to discern the spirits that may be troubling people. There could be demonic spirits. Amen. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, as the Spirit of God wills.
That's right.
So these, it says also in verse 13 that we've all been made to drink into one Spirit, the Spirit of God. And anyways, there's so much that we can talk about, but these are gifts.
So think of what we're talking about, gifts and all this. This all was manifested because of what happened at Passover. Yeshua died at the appointed time. He came at the appointed, in Galatians 4:4 it says he came born of a woman at the appointed time under the Torah, okay? And so this was an appointed time. And so his death, burial, and resurrection gave us the privilege to be able to receive all it. The Holy Spirit is the giver. We'll say it again. He's the giver, and we are the receiver, and we get that by the Holy Ghost. We talked about Isaiah chapter 52, about our Lord. I'm going to go over and read one verse in Isaiah 52, which is very important.
How can you just read one verse?
That's right. I'm going to read 13 through 15 of Isaiah 52. He says, the Spirit of God says, behold, my servant, who's this? Yeshua, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted, and extolled, and be very high. Now listen to this. As many were astonished, the King James, that word means astonished, at thee, his visage, this means his appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard
shall they consider.
So this is all talking about the future as well. Then we go into chapter 53.
Wow.
Let's look at this.
You might as well just start in verse 1.
I'm just we got about 5.5 minutes here.
Yeah, time.
53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, this is Yeshua, shall grow up before him. Okay, this is Yeshua. As a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, this is Yeshua, nor comeliness. He's not going to be a handsome man, maybe. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He certainly was. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not.
You know, Pastor Gene, I think back here where you read that in verse 2, because I've read this before and I think about it.
Yeah.
It says, and we shall see him, there is no beauty in him. I think that is when he was on the cross.
Could well be.
Because now it goes on and it tells you, it explains things that, you know, about how he was despised and
right.
how he suffered.
Could well
so I
be.
Believe that's the picture of that when
right.
he was beaten. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did esteem him stricken, smitten of God.
It says he's smitten of God. God allowed this to happen.
So this is why he was not beautiful.
Yeah.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
Another place in the Bible says we were healed. That's right.
And all we, this is true, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that how people are?
Yep.
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is why he was not beautiful. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. There he goes. He didn't complain. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. There he goes. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened on his mouth, no complaining.
That's right.
He was taken from prison and from judgment. This is exactly what happened to him.
That's it.
And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. once he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He was put in a rich man's grave, too.
That's right.
Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. His soul was made an offering for sin. Oh, boy.
And he shall see his seed. It means talking about resurrection, yeah.
He shall prolong his days, and the
pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Wow.
He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul
unto death,
and he was numbered with the transgressors,
He
bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen to this. For he hath made him, God hath made who? Yeshua, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Mm-hmm. We're not going to become righteous. We're made the moment we come. This is incredible.
Amen. I believe where it says, he shall see of the travail, and there's another place that says, he shall prolong his days. All these. I think that's just the Father saying this, you know?
Yeah, it's incredible.
He shall see his travail. God saw all this. God saw this from heaven. He saw what his son was going through, just like Abraham saw his son laying on that altar until God said, no, don't touch the child.
And even when Jesus was on the cross, you know, he thought God forsook him. But it was obvious. Even Psalm tells us that. God cannot look on sin. All the sin of the world, he never sinned, but all the sin in the world was dumped on him during that time, and he suffered immensely. And so the Father can't look at sin.
And all the sin from Adam till the end of days was on him. From every single sin from the Adam till the end of days. Can you imagine the weight of that sin? Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton.
Before we close, let me think about this. You know, it said at noon that it became dark. And it wasn't no eclipse or anything. It became dark. Just a picture of God. Sin is darkness to him. Amen.
That's right.
Go ahead.
We'll cover this next week.
Yeah.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you. Our time has run out. If you'd like to have the copy of this, or you'd like a copy of his book, give us a call. And we have service this afternoon at 4 p.m. and then also again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We're here in Stuart, Florida, right off on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And this is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida.
So as we close this program, we're on here because we love you. We want to see the body of Christ raised to a new standard, to be walking with the Lord, and not this passive way we hear today. And so we tell you, as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.